you'll open your Bibles tonight to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1. I don't have to tell you that we live in fearful times, and it's disturbing, and it's frightening, and it's impacting more and more lives around our globe. Appreciated the prayer that was led tonight by Denver. We live in uncertain times, and it seems to be getting closer to home all the time. Back during the Great Depression, people were fearful for different reasons, but those were frightening times. Some of you remember those times of economic crisis here in this nation. Roosevelt, during that time, uttered those famous words during one of his speeches, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." Now, that was a great rallying call at the time to those who had lost confidence in our nation and in the financial institutions of our nation. But you know, I don't know whether I would want to teach my children that that's true today. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. There are still rattlesnakes out there. There are still terrorists out there. There are still Springfield drivers out there. There are some legitimate things that we should have a healthy fear of. You know, the greatest healthy fear we should have begins with fear of God. That's the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And Jesus himself said, "I tell you, friends, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after the killing of the body, has the power to throw you into hell." That's Luke chapter 12, verse 5. And the kind of fear that Jesus spoke of, and the kind of fear that we read of there in the book of Proverbs, is not a cringing fear, and it's not a terror that we have, but it is a reverential, respectful fear. There are some things that I will do around the house and some things that I won't do. And one of the things I won't do is do electrical repairs because I have a very healthy respect for electricity. Now, I'm not terrified of it, but I don't know enough about it to stay out of harm's way. So I just stay back from it altogether. The man who has learned to fear God the most is the same man who loves God the most. Fear of God, one writer described it as being love on its knees. Fear of God, a healthy, respectful fear of God. But you know, for every healthy fear, there are fears that are introduced into our lives by Satan that are unhealthy and harmful and even debilitating at times. If you look into a medical book or a psychology book, you'll find that there are over 700 recognized phobias that Americans deal with today. And we know some of the more common ones. Some of you may even suffer from some of these fears. Claustrophobia. Don't like to be closed up. Arachnophobia. Now, I'm borderline afraid of spiders to that point. Agoraphobia. Fear of open places. And then there are fears that are very common. Fear of heights. Fear of disease or of germs. Fear of dogs. The list goes on. And it's not just a matter of people who are weak-minded or people who are very timid souls that struggle with these. Did you know that Julius Caesar, the great conqueror of the Roman world, he had a terror of thunderstorms. He never outgrew it all of his life. When a thunderstorm came, he was absolutely terrified, out of his mind. Peter the Great, that great Russian leader, he had a fear of bridges. And it was all he could do to just cross a bridge over a river. So these kind of fears are widespread among all kinds of people. Now, Paul writes to Timothy, and we've got to understand his close relationship to this young man and what he's urging him to do, because Timothy, when he got this letter, had apparently slowed down in his ministry. And it had been caused because he had a quality that a lot of people have when it comes to fear. He had become a little bit timid, and he was afraid to take the next step. And he needed a little bit of an encouraging word from this father figure in the Lord. And so Paul reminds him of the kind of family he came from and of the gospel that he first heard at the feet of his grandmother and his mother. And then he gives him a little bit of a nudge. Listen again to this passage that Vinton just read for us, understanding that here is a young man who is fearful for a number of reasons, and he's hearing these words of encouragement from his spiritual mentor. Paul says, "I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner." You see, Timothy had seen his spiritual mentor end up in prison because of preaching the gospel. And maybe that was his primary fear. I don't know if there were other things that were bothering Timothy, but these things had caused Timothy to move in slow motion now. And so Paul has to give him a little bit of a spiritual kick in the seat of the pants. And he tells him, don't be ashamed to fulfill your ministry. I myself lay hands on you. You have the power of God. Get over that timidity streak that is being evidenced in your life. And don't be ashamed of me. And don't be ashamed of the gospel. Get back in there and get to work again. You know, fear does terrible things to us. One of the things it makes us do, it makes us forget. It makes us forget where we've come from and the things we've already been through. Timothy was a Christian. He had been raised in a Christian home. He had been gifted by God, but apparently all these blessings had been forgotten. He was like that poor farmer who decided to rob a bank, and he was just so terrified as he went into the bank. He got one of those bank bags with a zipper on it, and he had a gun in the bag. And so he got into there to the teller, and he unzipped the bag and took the gun out. And he pointed the zipper bag at the teller, and he slid the gun across the counter to her. He was so mixed up, and he said to her, he said, this is a mess up. Don't stick with me. He forgot what he intended to say. In the heat of the moment, Timothy had hesitated. And Timothy had forgotten all that he had going for him. And that's happened in my life. I'm assuming it's happened in yours, where at some moment, you know, I was surprised and made fearful, and I just forgot, you know, the proper response. And so that's why we need guys like the Apostle Paul. Paul writes to him, he says, "For this reason, I remind you." You know, we need to be reminded. Paul says to this young man, remember who you are. Remember the way you grew up. Remember the gift that God's given to you. Remember the time I laid my hands on you. Now, get over this timid streak and get back in the trenches and go to work. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of me. God gives us the strength for every occasion. Don't allow fear to make you forget where God has already led you, knowing that He will give you the strength for every future thing that is frightening before you. There's another thing about fear, and that is it will neutralize us. If Satan can just scare us badly enough, he'll get us to be paralyzed by fear. Timothy had been stopped by fear. Paul gives him this little nudge, and he says, "Timothy, use your gifts." You know, I'm grateful for the talent that is exhibited on such a widespread scale right here in this congregation. People who have all kinds of gifts. I love seeing Drew up here and other young men that have grown up in this congregation and who have developed talents and who've used those talents and honed those talents and now who have tremendous assets for service. That's true of many in this congregation who have been gifted by God in very special ways. But you know, there are some here who have those gifts, but you've allowed Satan to paralyze you. And when volunteers are asked for and when there are needs that are expressed, there are some who say in their heart of hearts, you know, I ought to do that. But there's something inside that just will not let you take that step of using your talents in a public way. Maybe Satan whispers in your ear, well, what if you fail? What if you embarrass yourself in front of everyone? Or what if you can't follow through? But we forget that it's God who's the one who empowers us. His Spirit is within us. Jesus told that story. We all remember the story, don't we? Matthew chapter 25, of those three individuals who were gifted by their master and they had sums of money. The one that didn't pass muster in the end was the one who said upon his master's return, "I was afraid and I went out and I hid your talent in the ground." No, fear has a paralyzing effect on us. It's like pouring sand in machinery. So I want to look, because Paul, in one verse here, provides the answer to fear in the life of the Christian. He shared this secret with this young man, Timothy, and fortunately we have it recorded by the power of the Holy Spirit in His Word, and so we can gain mastery over fear in our lives. In a word, the answer to fear is faith. That's the answer, faith. Faith is like pouring oil in that same machinery that gets clogged by the fear of the sand. And he lists in verse 7 three things that will help us move beyond fear. These were the three things that Paul prescribed for Timothy. Look in verse 7. "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." God has given all of us the same gift that He gave to Timothy. He has given us a gift of power through the gift of the Holy Spirit. We received that the day we were baptized into Christ. You know, the times I am most fearful in life, they're the times when I begin to believe that I just don't have the resources to meet the challenge that's before me. You know that feeling, don't you? You think, boy, I bit off more than I can chew, and I don't know whether I can do this or not. And that's a bad place to be in life. And you become fearful, and then you promise yourself, well, I'm not going to ever stick my neck out again, and I'm not going to ever take on another challenge. And so we begin to move the borders in on what we're willing to do in the service of God. we ask ourselves questions like, well, how can I ever talk to my friend about the Lord? I'm just scared. I don't know what to say. Will they still like me? How can I ever go back and do the things I need to do? I've heard people ask this question. How can I ever, at my age, how can I go back to school? I know I need to. How can I ever find the strength to live a pure life? I mean, look at all the stuff, the garbage we're bombarded with and the accessibility of everything that is impure. How can I live a life that is pure for the Lord? Paul gave Timothy the answer. It is through the power that God gives us. I don't have that in myself. But God gives us the power to do these things. You know, when we know that we have God with us, it changes everything. Listen to these verses, 1 John 4:4. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. We have God's Spirit in our life. The one in the world is the devil roaming the streets. David in the 27th Psalm said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" No, the child of God has the power of God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In that beautiful passage, Hebrews 13, God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." And that allows us then to say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do for me?" I remember back when I was in the second grade, there was a bully that just picked on me every day and it made me afraid to go to school. And finally, my dad had a long talk with me and I got my pluck up and got my courage and I told her to leave me alone. We have power from a heavenly Father who stands with us and behind us to give us the courage to face whatever enemy we have out there. Satan is a bully and he'll paralyze us if we let him. The second thing that he prescribes for Timothy, he says, you've got the spirit of power residing in you. And then he talks about love. Now, how in the world does love help us overcome fear? We talked about love this morning. It's interesting that in that passage that John wrote, remember that verse, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18? Perfect love casts out fear. Remember that? It links love and fear there together. You know, I used to look at this verse, and I think I had it backwards because I thought that verse was talking about if I will learn to love perfectly, then fear will be cast out. But I really don't think that's what John meant there. If you look at the whole context there, in the larger context, he is talking about God's love for us, not me developing perfect love. He's talking about God's love, which is a perfect love for us. And if I understand God's love, that perfect love of God will enable me to move beyond any fear. Fear fades when I see how much God loves me. Knowing that a loving God is in control gives me peace of mind and frees me from the bondage of fear. So I've got the power that God has given me. I know that He loves me perfectly and that He will provide for whatever is there. And then finally, he just says, Timothy, you're going to have to knuckle down and develop some self-discipline. And that's the final thing that he mentions there in verse 7. Talks about self-discipline. The King James Version uses the phrase sound mind. Timothy, you need to get your thinking straight. You need to think clearly and think soundly. Did you know that most of our fears are absolutely irrational in nature? And we know that and we're told that. Most of the things people are afraid of are things that will never even happen. Zig Ziglar, who used to travel the country and speak to groups, he talked about being fearful in the business world. And he came up with an acronym for fear, and I think this is great. He said, those letters, F-E-A-R, really stand for false evidence appearing real. And most of the time, that's exactly what fear is. I remember, childhood fears. They're irrational fears. The earliest fear that I can remember, and I guess it's from all the stories I was read about Little Red Riding Hood and the three little pigs, and the wolf was always the bad guy. And I can remember having to take out the garbage at our house when I was just a little kid, and I would run out to the garbage can in the alley and throw it in and put the lid on and run back in the house because I was afraid that there was a wolf out there somewhere. You know, what a silly, irrational fear. The story is told about soldiers after the Second World War on the island of Guam, Japanese soldiers who fought and held out for years and lived in caves even after the war was over. And they lived there for years and years, and it wasn't until much later that some of them were discovered and were told the war is long, long over. But they were still hiding in fear. For us today, God says the same thing to us that Paul said to Timothy. Jesus is here with us today. And Jesus would tell every one of us, from whatever fear we're facing, folks, the war is over. It's been fought, and it's been won. And He offers us amnesty. He offers us forgiveness, and He offers us peace. And He says, you don't have to be afraid anymore. You can come home, and I will put you to work, so don't be ashamed. I'm grateful for this little message that Paul gave to Timothy, because I'm convinced that there are a whole lot of us that are a whole lot like Timothy. And we need a little bit of a spiritual kick in the seat of our pants occasionally too over things that are fearful to us. Tonight, we serve a God who banishes fear. And He takes away the fear that's associated with guilt. He takes away the fear of death. He takes away the fear of our future. And He gives us peace and comfort for a knowledge of a secure future with Him. Tonight, if there's anyone here who needs to respond to Him, you can leave here tonight. If you're not a Christian, you can leave here tonight with all your sins forgiven. We'll assist you as you're baptized. If you need prayer, we'll pray for you just like we did with Elena this morning at second service. If you need to come, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.